eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Behind Enemy Lines. I'm your host, Alejandro Zuniga, here from the Michigan Insider, michigan.247sports.com. On Behind Enemy Lines, we take a close look at the Michigan football team's upcoming opponent through the eyes of a beat writer who covers that team. And if you're listening to this week's episode of the show, you need no introduction. It is the game. It is Michigan against Ohio State. This is the biggest game of the year. Flat out. No questions asked. And yet somehow this year it feels even more important than usual. If you look at this from Ohio State's perspective, they have lost the game 2 years in a row. They have not lost it 3 years in a row for more than a quarter century. It has been 26 years since they lost the game 3 years in a row. There are questions about the future of the program under Ryan Day if they can't beat Michigan, and that will be on the line on Saturday in Ann Arbor. At the same time, from Michigan's perspective, we know what's gone on the past month, how the allegations of improper sign stealing have cast doubts about the reason for Michigan's success, both against Ohio State in 21 and 22 and in every other game. And with both of those Big Ten championships and with both of those college football playoff appearances, there is a lot on the line as the Big Ten is reshaping and growing and changing as a conference, as the college football playoff is expanding so that, listen, if these two teams met like this next year, they both know they're getting into the playoff. They both know they have a shot at the national championship. This year, it's not that. This is a playoff game. You lose and you are out, almost certainly. You lose and you're not going to Indianapolis. You're not winning a Big Ten championship. You are potentially not competing for a national championship. 12 o'clock, noon on Saturday. I'll be there. I know you'll be there or you will be watching. It really all comes down to this. So let's get ready for it. I've got Patrick Murphy, who covers Ohio State for Bucknuts, part of our 24/7 Sports Network, giving us a detailed breakdown, position group by position group, about what you should expect from Ohio State this weekend. If you're a regular listener of this show, you will recognize his voice. He's been on every single week, giving us a few minutes about Ohio State. This time we go a little bit more in depth, because it isn't a future opponent. It's not that the game is a couple weeks or a couple months away. It's here. So let's dive right in. Patrick Murphy, welcome to the show, and it is with a tinge of sadness that I welcome you to this week's episode, because it's the last time we'll be talking this year. What a way to end it. The regular season is coming to a close for Michigan and Ohio State, but there's no better way for it to end than with two 11-0 programs, two teams with college football playoff, with Big Ten championship aspirations, and with the understanding that a loss, certainly for Michigan, probably for Ohio State, means the end of all of those dreams for this season. We're going to go position by position group to break down the Buckeyes. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm a little sad that you don't want to continue doing this through bowl season and into the off season. I mean, I thought we were just talking to each other because we like talking football.
You know what? If you want to talk Columbus Crew, want to give each other a preview of whatever the Iowa offense is going to bring to Indianapolis, I am more than happy to do it. But you have been so generous with your time all fall that I don't need to subject you to any more. But Patrick, let's dive right into the Ohio State offense. Ohio State, big picture, number one total offense in the Big Ten, as you would expect. Number one passing offense, number eight rushing offense. We're going to go position group by position group. So let's start with the quarterback, Kyle McCord, who really seized control of the job after the first couple weeks of this year. He's thrown for 2,900 yards, 22 touchdowns, four interceptions, is significantly better at home than on the road. On the other hand, he seems to have gotten a lot better as the years progressed. He's not much of a runner. His long run of the season is 9 yards, but he's a high level. He was a high level prospect. He's decently athletic, so it's not like he's a statue in the pocket. Patrick, give us the rundown on Kyle McCord. Where has he progressed the most this year? Where are the areas that maybe he still has some issues?
My big thing coming into the season with Kyle McCord was you don't need to be Superman, right? With the weapons Ohio State has, assuming the offensive line, which we'll get to, holds up, you just need to be able to get the ball to those playmakers. And I think he's done a good job of that. And as you mentioned, he has grown throughout the season. The biggest thing for McCord is when he sets his feet and, kind of has that foundation that we hear a lot about with quarterbacks. He's very accurate, and he can put the ball kind of, I wouldn't say he's CJ Stroud level accurate, but we're seeing in the NFL just kind of what CJ Stroud is as a quarterback. But he is very accurate. It's when he, and this isn't even necessarily under pressure because he has done a good job of avoiding pressure, but when he, whether it is pressure or whether it's of his own accord, kind of doesn't get that platform set, that's when you see balls kind of sail. He's had a couple interceptions that way. Now, he has completed some passes off his back foot when needed to. He has a strong arm, but that is the big thing for him, is kind of getting set, and getting his body in line to make the throw. He won't face the defense like this, right? That what Michigan has. Penn State is probably the closest thing, and he was able to find Marvin Harrison Jr. enough in that game to make plays and win it. So yeah, that's the big thing for me is McCord has taken steps throughout the year, as you expect. He hasn't maybe taken the steps that Ohio State fans expected because the standard at quarterback has just been so high. And I know I talked with you about this a couple weeks ago during the Michigan Penn State game. I tweeted something out kind of comparing Kyle McCord and JJ McCarthy, because their statistics, at least passing, are similar. And I think this got to Michigan fans, and somehow it came across as a slight to JJ McCarthy, which was not my intent at all. I think JJ McCarthy is a talented quarterback. I just think the perception of these guys has been very different throughout this year. But I do think that the progression of Kyle McCord has been what you like to see. Now, is it enough to go on the road and win in Ann Arbor? He does have a really nice road win against a good Notre Dame team. He did win at Wisconsin, and played decently well in both of those games. The consistency in the Wisconsin game wasn't what you'd hoped, but it was enough to win it. So this will be his biggest challenge by far, and I think we'll kind of be able to, whatever happens beyond this, I think this game has an opportunity to set Kyle up for what's going to take place next season, and maybe even the postseason if the Buckeyes do win this one.
Let's talk about some of those weapons. And of course, when you talk about weapons on the Ohio State offense, you got to start with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? It has very much been the Marvin Harrison Jr. show for much of the year. He's worked his way into Heisman conversation, but it's not just him, right? Tight end Cade Stover, who Michigan fans got a taste of last year, he's really emerged as a receiving target. He's actually number two on the team in receptions. Fellow wide receiver Emeka Egbuka, I know he's been dinged up, but it does sound like he's worked his way back to full health, or as close as you can hope for at this point late in the season. And then a couple other options in the freshman Carnell Tate and Julian Fleming. Clearly, big picture, it's Marvin Harrison Jr., but outside of him, is it the sort of thing where if you shut down Harrison that the offense stalls? Or who are the people who have impressed you outside of Harrison Jr., and how do you stop him?
Yeah, that's a good question. And there have been teams that have doubled him, and the Buckeyes have moved him around and found ways to, still get him the ball. I think if Emeka Egbuka is as healthy as you can be at this point in the season. And he finally started to look like it on Saturday against Minnesota. That was his third game back from the ankle injury. If he is at his best, then he can be that number two guy that, if you do, that's happened against Notre Dame. They doubled Marvin a lot. Now Marvin also got hurt his ankle in that game, so it was a little bit limited, but played every snap. So if Emeka is as healthy as he can be, then he was the top ranked wide receiver in that class, which I think people forget just because of how Marvin has played. But he can be that difference maker as well. And he had 92 yards against Notre Dame, including a big third down 19 yard catch on that final drive that Ohio State ended up scoring in. So that's kind of been the thing is that they've said all year is sort of pick your poison. Yes, they want to get the ball to Marv. They want to move him around. He is obviously the focal point, but Emeka Buka is equally as talented. Cade Stover has proven to be a more reliable pass catcher than I think most people expected. Julian Fleming can make a play here or there. He has become much more of an effective blocker when they've gotten guys out to the perimeter than he has a pass catcher. And we have people on our board sometimes questioning, why aren't they using some of the younger guys instead of Julian Fleming? And it's because of what he does when he doesn't have the ball in his hands that still helps this offense and helps the run game and everything like that. So he has, I would say that if they are healthy, it's pretty hard to just stop one guy. And if you put your attention to Marvin Harrison Jr., for instance, there are other guys that can win. Problem is they've been banged up. Cade Stover missed a game. Emeka Buka missed three games. So it's been kind of we have to rely on Marvin, which is okay. He's very talented, but I think they appear to be getting healthy coming into this game. So it will be, and I think I'll keep saying this, it'll be interesting to see how healthy these guys are, and then what Michigan does defensively to try and stop this offense just in general. How do you slow this group down? Do you double Marv? Do you try and single cover with your best corner and then shut down the other guys? I think teams have tried different things and the results have generally been Harrison has won. He has had some games where his numbers haven't been as impressive, but generally in those games he still finds the end zone. So it's been tough to slow him down, no doubt. I mean, even Georgia's defense last year struggled to do it until he left that game. So yeah, that I think that is the question every defense faces when going against this Ohio State offense. And maybe the real answer is you get pressure on Kyle McCord and you don't let him get the ball out to them. That may be the easiest way to slow down any of these receivers.
And if that's going to happen, we have talked all fall, Patrick, about that offensive line. I know from the beginning of the year, the left tackle, Josh Simmons, San Diego State transfer. You've got a center who's a redshirt freshman in Carson Hinsman. Offensive line, the trenches. We heard the interview, that Ryan Day gave after that Notre Dame win of winning in the trenches. But how has the offensive line, where Michigan has really made its money in this game the last couple of years? On the offensive line last year, with the two couple edge rushers back in 21, how has the Ohio State offensive line performed? Do you think that they will be able to keep McCord upright, when facing the likes of Mason Graham, of Chris Jenkins, and so on?
They've gotten better throughout the year, no doubt, and pass blocking has actually been more of a strength than run blocking, though I do think that's improved as well. I would say the right side of this offensive line, even though you mentioned left tackle Josh Simmons, who was a transfer, I would say that has been where teams have been able to get after them a little bit. Josh Fryer has struggled at times. There's been, I don't know whether it's communication or just recognizing, especially when teams bring extra pressure of who's picking up whom. We've seen a few times where there's just a free rusher coming in. We even, after interviews one day, one of the guys pulled up a video of the play. I think it was against Rutgers, where it appeared at least that Josh Fryer blocked the outside guy, and so the inside guy, Kyle McCord, gets sacked. And Fryer kind of explained it to us that it wasn't really his fault on that play. But there's just been some issues there on who's supposed to do what when they've face some additional pressure. So I think they will be able to keep McCord relatively upright, but I do think, even against Penn State, like there were good moments and then there were some shaky moments. And obviously Penn State has some pretty talented pass rushers as well, although they did lose one in that game. So I think it will probably be a matter of, can you do it enough for McCord to make plays. I don't anticipate it will be clean throughout the game for Ohio State because this isn't an elite offensive line. But, can you eliminate the mistakes, especially on the road in that atmosphere, to let Kyle have enough time, especially on big plays, to deliver the ball where it needs to go?
And the final piece of the offense, of course, are the running backs. Mayan Williams, unfortunately, out for the rest of the year. But Trevion Henderson, even before then, had really established himself as running back one. Chip Traynham comes in as kind of a backup, a 1B situation. But Henderson has amassed the majority of carries this year, 6.7 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns. Also has been involved in the passing game, as you mentioned. And he's a former five-star. I know coming into the game last year, like you look at Ohio State's run success rate and it was not that high. I know there were issues with Ohio State running zone stretch, outside zone, not always being successful earlier this year. Has the run game kind of rounded into form, or is it the sort of thing with Trevion that it's a home run, a two true outcomes, I guess, like a home run or stuffed for no gain?
He's made a difference, Trevion has, in the run game. When he missed three games, for two of them, they really struggled. And that's when Mayan Williams was still healthy. Both him and Chip Tranum just don't have that big play ability. So, if it doesn't get 4 or 5 yards, if he gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage, there's just not that extra threat there. Twice this season, coming out of halftime, Trevion Henderson has had huge touchdown runs against Notre Dame, and then again on Saturday, when the offense moved the ball well in the first half, but couldn't finish drives, settled for two field goals. It was only 13-0 at halftime. First play of the second half, he goes 75 yards for a touchdown. And what he's gotten better at is kind of, it doesn't have to be a perfectly blocked play for him. That touchdown on Saturday, he bounces it to the outside. He had to make a guy miss. And then, the receivers were blocking. I think it was Julian Fleming and Emeka Egbuka. And he was able to, once he gets in the open field, he's pretty ridiculous with the speed. So, yeah, I mean, they don't have a do all back, frankly, with what Michigan's had these last few years. But Trevion Henderson, with the big play ability and the threat of that on every play, makes a pretty big difference. And then Chip Tranum can come in and do some of the more short yardage stuff. He's also lined up at fullback at times. They've started these last couple weeks, though they didn't do it as much on Saturday. Kind of like what Penn State does with two running backs in the backfield, either side of Kyle McCord. A lot of times when they've done that, it's been wide receiver Xavier Johnson, he's played running back, he's played wide receiver, he even played defense. He's been one of the two running backs, and often Trianum's been the lead blocker when they've handed the ball off out of that. So they can do some different things, but certainly the run game is going to be very reliant on Trevion Henderson and his ability to, and it doesn't have to be 75 yards and a touchdown every time. If he can get a couple 25, 30 yards, I think they'd be very happy with that.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about the Ohio State defense.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
And we're back, folks, on the Michigan Insider at michigan.247sports.com. Alejandro Zuniga taking you behind enemy lines with Patrick Murphy, who covers the Buckeyes for Bucknuts of 247 Sports. Just spent a while talking about the Ohio State offense. We're going to turn our attention now to the defense. Ohio State brings to Ann Arbor the number two scoring defense in the country, number 21 overall rush defense, but the top pass defense in the nation, and the number three total defense. It's year two under Jim Knowles, Patrick, who came to Columbus from Oklahoma State. He has put together a unit that on paper looks very impressive. I have my doubts, as I do with Michigan's in a way, because I don't feel like the Big Ten really has very potent offenses.
Yeah.
But no matter which way you slice it, this is a very good defense. Where have you seen, big picture, where have you seen improvements on the defensive unit? Have they potentially done a better job at containing the big plays that so plagued them last year against Michigan?
Yeah, that's been the biggest difference this season. They've given up one play of 40 yards or longer, and that was against Rutgers on a trick play where they went under center. It looked like they were going to do the quarterback sneak, tush-push thing. The center snapped it to the quarterback, who then snapped it to the running back behind him, and Ohio State wasn't ready for it. So they've handled that well. They haven't given up. I believe the biggest pass play they've given up is something like 33 yards. So that has been the focus. And Jim Knowles pushed back earlier this year about being a bend but don't break defense, you know, forcing teams to drive the length of the field. And I asked him shortly after that why he didn't like that term. And he just said, you know, that's not what we've ever been. Because he's always been aggressive. And you saw it last year in this game. Some of the blitzes and stuff that Ohio State got caught on, there's been less of that. Now, I do expect Jim Knowles to still be aggressive at times. I think he's just been better of kind of picking the moments to determine when to bring an extra blitzer or you know, when to change up pressure. They've done more things with, you know, they'll bring linebackers but drop some defensive linemen into coverage. And they, you know, the defensive ends are athletic enough to cover in some degree. So I think he's been... I think Jim Knowles has a better understanding of the group, which has allowed him to kind of figure out, okay, how do we just, we can still be aggressive, but we don't need to completely take kind of that shell off the defense and allow that big play over the top. You know, but this game, this was the challenge last year, right? I mean, they gave up some big plays to Maryland the week before the Michigan game last year. But it was really this game and the Georgia game that kind of set that narrative for Ohio State that, you know, they can't deal with the big plays. And obviously that was the focus this offseason. So, you know, you've done it all year, but if you don't do it in this game, or if, you know, Michigan is running free behind your secondary, then it won't matter all the work that the Jim Knowles and this defense have put in. But it has been much better, and they seem to have figured it out schematically.
I think where we start with the Ohio State defense is probably the area that Michigan fans probably circled after the Penn State game. Because against Penn State and even against Maryland, felt like Michigan's tackles had issues with the opposing edge rushers. And you certainly expect that a bit against Penn State, which has NFL-level talent, but then you project that ahead to Ohio State, and so does Ohio State, right? You're starting with a solid defensive line, but an edge group that includes JT Tuimoloau, and Jack Sawyer. How has that unit performed? I know that JTT, I feel like every time I see him on TV, they're bringing up the Penn State game, you know, that of course that was a dramatic performance of his, a game changing, a game winning performance that last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that he's not always performing quite at that level. So how has that unit performed? And is this the type of thing where it really could change how Michigan has to face the Ohio State defense?
Yeah, these two guys, and I'll throw in, they mix in sophomores or redshirt freshmen. I don't know what their eligibility is. Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson, some too. Caden Curry will also play fullback at times for Ohio State, which is always interesting to see number 92 out there on offense. But mostly JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, neither of them are like pure pass rushers. They're not like the Bosa twin or the Bosa brothers, excuse me, not twins, or Chase Young in that sense. They can both do some different things. JT Tuimoloau, as you mentioned, that Penn State game kind of showcased everything he can do as a guy who can drop into coverage. He can rush the passer, but he's also good against the run. Jack Sawyer, very good against the run. Jack Sawyer is coming off what is probably his best. It's definitely his best statistical game as a Buckeye. Had six tackles, I think 3.5 tackles for a loss, a sack, and a forced fumble last week against Minnesota. We talked to him after the game, and he was talking about, you know, how he just feels like he's playing his best football at the right time of the year. But yeah, neither of them are just true, we're going to beat you pass rushing. Now they can do it. They have done it at times, but I think that it's less of a concern. Now, some of it is probably schematic too. They've been careful, especially against quarterbacks like a JJ McCarthy, to not rush too much, because you know a guy like that can beat you with his legs. So you know, those guys, I think they will get some pressure from the defensive ends, but it's not something that's been this consistent force for Ohio State's defense. In fact, I would say the interior of the defensive line, Tyleek Williams, Michael Hall Jr., who didn't play last week but said at an NIL event today that he plans to play against Michigan, he's feeling good, and it was precautionary last week, that those guys, Ty Hamilton, I'll throw him in there as well, that's kind of been where they've gotten more pressure, is up the middle. And maybe that's just because teams are focusing to keep the bigger names, so to speak, on the edge in check. But I think the interior of the defensive line has probably been more productive than the edges, you know, for a number of different reasons.
Now, turning our attention to that linebacker level, you have Tommy Eichenberg, who I know he's been dinged up and expecting him to return against Michigan. We have a player who's been around for a while and also is on the all-name team, anytime I hear it, Steel Chambers. Linebacker level, it feels this way about basically anyone Michigan has played this year, is that Michigan has the tight ends and they have a running back in Donovan Edwards, who you feel like can create mismatches, particularly in pass coverage against the Wolverines. It feels like that might be an area that Michigan could attack with Tommy Two Thumbs, as Gus Johnson will call him incessantly, I'm sure, on Saturday, yes, and with Steel Chambers. Am I wrong in thinking that, or where have they taken that next step this year?
No, I think you are. I think you're pretty spot on. These guys, just because of the scheme and because they haven't been as aggressive, neither Tommy Eichenberg nor Steel Chambers' numbers are as good. I think they benefited a lot from some of that aggression last year, and just kind of, especially Steel Chambers, bringing him on blitzes. And, you know, Tommy Eichenberg, I would say they refer to him a lot as the quarterback of the defense. And I think that's where he's probably most valuable. I will be interested to see how much three linebacker, formations we see out of Ohio State. Cody Simon, who has started the last two games with Tommy Eichenberg out, can step in there and play as a Sam linebacker or weak side linebacker if needed. So there may be some of that. But yes, I think from a coverage standpoint, neither of those linebackers and even Cody Simon are great in that department. So if you can get some, you know, whether it be a tight end or a running back, like you were saying, some players in there that you can target, I think there is a recipe for success there. They also, somewhat surprisingly, and this hasn't been the case as much recently, but they also haven't played the most talented running backs the last few weeks. There were some gap issues with the linebackers. A couple times Steel Chambers was just like hitting the wrong gap, and then the running back was running through another hole. So I'll be interested to see kind of how they've workshopped that for this game. It's looked better, like I said, but you know, Minnesota was on its fourth running back of the season, and Michigan State has offensive line issues. So, you know, is it actually improved? Have they figured that out with the linebackers, or is it just a matter of, okay, you played teams that just didn't have the horses? And we'll certainly see on Saturday, because Michigan has the horses.
Now, taking a look at the secondary, it sounds like Lathan Ransom, I don't know if he's officially out for the year, but he's certainly more on the doubtful side of whether or not he's going to play this weekend. Ohio State secondary, again, this is the number two scoring defense in the country and the number one pass defense, but you've got some questions as opposed to, you know, in regards to what quarterbacks they've really faced this year. Mm-hmm. I know one of the corners is a guy that Michigan and Ohio State pursued very heavily this offseason, Davison Igbinusen. How has that unit all come together? How, if they're potentially shorthanded and potentially one-on-one as Ohio State's trying to stop that Michigan run game, how do you think they might fare?
The Lathan Ransom injury is certainly an issue. He's been out the last few weeks. Sonny Styles, who is playing kind of a bigger nickel position, has moved back to what they call the bandit safety, more of a, you know, true safety position. I think this is going to be the game that's going to test that Lathan Ransom injury, and I don't expect him to play in this game. He was in a walking boot still last week. The most, because ideally against a team like Michigan that, you know, obviously is going to run the ball, but still has the threat to pass, you'd want to have both Lathan Ransom and Sonny Styles in the game together, because they're both good coming up to the line of scrimmage, but they've both improved as guys in coverage. And so you don't need to substitute as much for that. That's part of the reason I think I mentioned the three linebackers maybe being more, because I think if you have Sonny Styles, he can almost play like that third linebacker and sort of the nickel role. You just lose a little bit of that with him at the bandit safety, so to speak. But Josh Proctor, who's a sixth-year senior, has finally kind of come into his own as kind of their deep safety. He's been good this year, except when the ball's been thrown right at him and he doesn't intercept it. He has one interception this season. He did manage to haul one in, but like last week he dropped one. But he's been good in coverage. He's been solid. At corner, you mentioned Davis and Igbinosin. He's kind of their number two. Denzel Burke has emerged. Well, really, he was really good his freshman season. Not so good while dealing with injuries last year. And then, has played at a very high level this season. I imagine he, will be matched up on whoever Ohio State deems as the top threat on any given play. They've both played well. Jordan Hancock has also played at the nickel position. They've developed some depth in there because of the injury to Denzel Burke. Jermaine Matthews Jr., who hasn't played as much when everyone's been healthy, but can step in. He's a freshman they really like, so there is some depth there. I if everyone's healthy, I think you're going to see those three corners I mentioned on the field. How much Jordan Hancock at nickel, I'm unsure, but I think they do feel pretty good about their ability to cover. Davis and Igbinosin is very aggressive, and they've played him a little bit more in off coverage just to limit the potential for penalties and whatnot. He's done a pretty good job of getting through that this season and has covered well.
Well, Patrick, appreciate you taking us position by position. Any parting thoughts? I know we are recording this only on Monday, and there's a lot more to think about this game before 12:14 p.m., give or take a minute, on Saturday afternoon. But any parting thoughts about this game, about the rivalry, before it finally kicks off?
Yeah, just excitement. I mean, this is, I think, anyone who's been involved in this, either of these teams in whatever capacity, you're always kind of thinking about this game, right? Whether it's a coverage thing, whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, a coach, whatever. And so the fact that we get to cover these games every year is fantastic. I look forward to it. And, I'm hoping that the weather is not terrible up in Ann Arbor on Saturday. 2 years ago, when we were driving back from there after the game, it was just snow, and I think it took us twice as long to get back to Columbus afterwards. So hopefully we can avoid some of that, but really looking forward to it. Looking forward to making the trip up. Looking forward to see you guys. Oh, and a question for you. Do you prefer your mother to wear a one piece bathing suit?
So
from Jim Harbaugh,
that always entertaining. You never know quite what you're going to get. That is a direct quote from Ted Lasso, which, yes, I think, yeah, it went over some people's heads. But Jim Harbaugh's ability to both say that and then just deadpan, like no smile whatsoever afterward.
Yeah.
It's very special. Patrick Murphy covers Ohio State over for Bucknuts, part of our 24/7 sports network. It has been a long few months since we first saw each other for this season out in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day. We will find out which one of us will go back to Indianapolis next week when Michigan hosts Ohio State. In, it almost, with everything that's gone on with Michigan, it almost hasn't hit me how big this game is, right? Because, 2021 was a top 10 matchup, but then last year was so special with it being two top five programs. And here we are again, and it's the end of the Big Ten as we know it. It's the end of the current college football playoff format as we know it. And presumably one of these two teams will get a chance for all the glory, and that will be decided on Saturday afternoon. Patrick, you can follow him over at Bucknuts on 24/7 Sports or on Twitter or X @_Pat_Murphy. Patrick, I'll see you at the Big House.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you there.
And that'll do it for this week's episode of Behind Enemy Lines. For myself, Alejandro Zuniga, everyone over at the Michigan Insider, thank you so much for listening. I hope you are having a wonderful Thanksgiving week. But if you're not with your family, if you have a few minutes, go check us out over at the Michigan Insider at michigan.247sports.com. It's the biggest week of the year because it's the biggest game of the year, and we have so much coverage to get you ready for it. We are at every press conference. We'll have intel after practice on Tuesday. We have expert breakdowns, and we'll get you geared up for the biggest recruiting weekend of the fall for the Michigan football program. Our focus all week is on family and on football. So with that, I'm signing off. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you at the Big House Saturday, Michigan, Ohio State. This is it.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.